breaking news today on Seculo, and this is not satire. It is not a joke. The Biden administration has created a dystopian disinformation board at the Department of Homeland Security.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo.
Our Undersecretary for Policy, Rob Silvers, is co-chair with our Principal Deputy General Counsel, Jennifer Daskal, in leading a just recently constituted misinformation, disinformation governance board.
We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110.
The goal is to bring the resources of the department together to address this threat.
And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. No, it's not a joke. It's almost hard to believe, except for remember, these are the Democrats who have weaponized every government agency they can to try and silence you. So you saw them weaponize early, you know, a decade ago, the IRS. We've battled that. They've weaponized the FBI, so no one respects the FBI anymore. And now they're weaponizing Department of Homeland Security, which has already been a disaster. I mean, there have been calls by members of Congress to impeach the Secretary of Homeland Security for failing to do his job to protect our border and, of course, to protect American sovereignty. But you know what he's spending his time doing with his staff of political appointees? Coming up with, and this is no joke, a disinformation governance board. This is another weaponization of the federal government to come after average Americans speaking their mind. The idea, and the new head of this, she's already called you a fascist if you support President Trump. So she's already come out with her own insults for you. But she doesn't want to hear anything on the street that she might disagree with. You know, we talk about that a lot on this show, that being a free speech absolutist means you will hear opinions and views that you don't like, that might make you uncomfortable, that might even make you mad. But that's part of living in America. That's what makes us different than even other democracies around the world, is that we actually have, or at least had, freedom of speech. You can be the lone actor with your sign on the corner.
And that's a
normal part of America. And it's up to you to convince more people to join your cause.
Yeah, so it is unbelievable. A disinformation governance board to coordinate countering misinformation related to Homeland Security, focused specifically on irregular migration, in other words, illegal crossings, and Russia. So if you speak on your piece on any of those issues, and of course, it's not going to be limited to that. But, you know, the Nazis had a ministry of propaganda and public engagement? Well, what was that name? It was a ministry of propaganda, and they also had another component to it. It was the same type of idea. Yeah, public enlightenment. So public enlightenment, and we've got and said ours is called the Disinformation Governance Board. You talk about an attack on freedom of speech, folks. I mean, you do realize what's happening, right? The government is impaneling a group of government employees who will, without court order, without court oversight, will decide whether speech you're giving constitutes disinformation. Now, what are the penalties for that? I guess they can, you know, list you on a Homeland Security listing.
They'll get you fired from your job is what they'll do. I mean, they'll get you fired.
Of course, that's the real economic consequences.
That's how they can, a backdoor consequences. They expose you as some kind of, this radical extremist. And then suddenly you've lost your job. You can't be associated with anymore. And the person running this, she tweets out, "The cat's out of the bag. Here's what I've been up to the past 2 months." I mean, they're proud of this. We're going to play her sound. They are proud of limiting speech. They don't want. This is the left. This was the liberals, the Democrats. I thought they love protesters and they love disruption. But you realize now it's up to us. We're the disruptors. We're the ones who actually say, "Give me all your speech. Give me Black Lives Matter. Give me everybody." And just let everybody talk. Now, if you start rioting, that's a different story. But that's not what this is about. This is about
speech. This is a disinformation governance board.
It's not about action. It's not about doing anything illegal.
It's called a disinformation governance board that will determine whether your speech is disinformation and then subject to whatever draconian penalties they put in place. We want to know your opinion on this. 800-684-3110. We'll take your calls. 1-800-684-3110.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
So the head of this new committee, the Disinformation Governance Board, Nina Jankowicz, she was on NPR. So she went on government-sponsored radio, of course, government speech, which, again, I think we could question why are we funding that in the United States of America when we have so many different media outlets to choose from. But again, this is where they go to promote their censorship of American people. I mean, this is targeted right at you folks. They are talking about the conservative talk radio listener.
Yeah,
the person who's willing to take a different political opinion than might be popular in corporate America or in the mainstream media. But then we realize when we all take the opinion together that we make up a pretty good chunk of the United States of America, and that there's a lot of us questioning just the entire design of our government. And the especially these institutions, because they are weaponizing them, not against illegal immigrants, which is what the Department of Homeland Security was for, terrorist and border security. No, they're weaponizing it against you. It makes you think, why do we need the IRS, the Department of Justice, the FBI, and the Department of Homeland Security? They're not protecting us. They don't. See, like every time there's some kind of attack at a border, they're playing catch up, even when they've encountered that person before. They've actually spoken to most of these people who commit these big crimes or terror attacks, and then they're not protecting the border, which is their entire job. But listen to her. They are not hiding from you. They are telling the world, I'm here to censor you.
You can't help but notice that many of the free speech absolutists are often online trolls themselves. And or they are wealthy white men who presumably have ample means to protect their personal safety.
Yeah.
They have personal assistants. They have security guards. They have, you know, people who can provide, you know, a zone of personal safety for them. But to the argument that it is just words, what do you say?
It's not just words. So if I were walking on the street and a crowd of hundreds of people were shouting the insults that we spoke about at me, police would intervene. Bystanders would intervene. It would not be acceptable. And yet, it is happening to millions of women around the world, and worse, every day.
But it's so mischaracterized. I can insult you. It's America. I can't, if I threaten you, that's different. But insulting, and what does that even mean? You remember what I just said before in the earlier segment? Hearing things you don't like to these snowflakes is insulting to them. That she, so the and then you, it's everything is about Somehow this is protecting minorities. Somehow this is protecting women. But the truth is, when you start limiting speech, you're hurting the minority view the most. The minority view is the view that gets shut out eventually. And it's only the view of the government. So I get this idea that we don't want to insult people anymore. Come on. This is the United States of America. We're known for that.
Free speech is supposed to be robust. It can be aggressive. It can't be threatening, right? But here's what you have. You have the United States government setting up a disinformation board to review speech of American citizens. And the person that's heading it up, Nina Jankowicz, says, I shudder to think about if free speech absolutists were taking over more platforms. Shudder to think about free speech absolutists? You mean people that believe that free speech should be robustly protected like our founding father, the whole founding generation? But here's what's so concerning. I want you to think about this, everyone. A government agency, Department of Homeland Security, sets up a disinformation governance board. Who do you think they're targeting? You know who they're targeting. You, me, broadcasts like this. You think Facebook is censorship? Just wait till the government's involved now in disinformation review.
Yeah, they don't like what you say. I mean, so they're questioning Joe Biden, questioning their policies, questioning the way their politics is now going to become something that is, you are now anti-American. You're an enemy of the state if you happen to question the state. So I think it's our job now is to question everything as much as possible and to realize that these so-called leaders, okay, they are, again, they're not to be respected and trusted. They're telling you what they want to do. So they're not hiding back. You would think this is something that, like, they planned this actually to come out. They had a Democrat ask the question in the committee hearing so that they could get ahead of this news story. And then she comes out, the cat's out of the bag. I mean, her former job, her career is, she was a disinformation fellow at the Wilson Center. And she advised the Ukrainian Foreign Ministry, which again, was she the one that advised the Ukrainian Foreign Ministry to go forward with a NATO application that led to a war? I mean, this idea too, you put all these things together. It's like, everyone is not, why are all of these people coming from the same world?
And ask yourself that question. Right.
They promote this idea and her idea that I don't want to walk down the street and see things I don't like or hear things I don't like that don't live in America. Except for, and that used to be the kind of majority of us from all political walks, far left, far right, and in between, would say, no, this is a country where you could be insulted and you might not like what you see and you might not like what you hear and you might have to explain it to your kids when you walk by. But that's a part of liberty. It's part of freedom. And they are confusing criminal activity with the ability to just speak freely. The idea that you can't just have a discussion now without worrying that it's going to be criminalized. And I think what they're going to do is this is going to target people for employers to feel pressure to remove these people from their jobs. And that's it's also
shaming.
Just a way to silence all
it's
of
gonna,
us.
It's going to be shaming. Here's what Josh Hawley, senator, said in a letter to the Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas. I write with deep concern about the Department of Homeland Security's decision to create a new disinformation governance board. I confess at first, I thought this announcement was satire. Surely no American administration would ever use the power of government to sit in judgment on the First Amendment speech of its own citizens. Sadly, I was mistaken. Rather than protecting our border or the American homeland, you've chosen to make policing American speech your priority. This new board is almost certainly to be unconstitutional and should be dissolved immediately. We think it is unconstitutional. We're looking at, by the way, at the American Center for Law and Justice, we're looking at legal challenges already. I'm going to find out through a FOIA who started all this.
Well, it comes 2 days after Elon Musk buys Twitter and Truth Social launches
fully.
Yes, we need
to announce that.
And so we're on Truth Social now as well, like we're on other social media places. So you just look up Seculo. You can find all of us or ACLJ, and we're there.
At Jordan Seculo, at Jay Seculo, at Logan Seculo, and at ACLJ.
Yeah, so we're all there. And so that platform opens up to everybody. So it's got millions of people on it now. Twitter is totally changed. And overnight, Elon Musk is changing the culture there, though we said you'll give him some time because he's got a lot of bad actors inside. But this idea, that's who they're targeting. And when they say it's white men with security guards, this is not who's on Truth Social. On Truth Social and other places, it's everyday folks. It's not Hollywood celebrities. They've got all of that protection. She works for the government. She gets all that security and protection. It's about how to silence you. It's not about the top speakers. It's not about the people who, again, at the top. It's not. It's that they want to go after you for even speaking your mind. And the idea, again, they make it a racial issue. They make it a sexist issue. And they make it about minorities. Their job at the Department of Homeland Security is supposed to be securing our border, killing and arresting terrorists. What happened? What happened to our government? Why are we funding it? The idea is, let's say Republicans do take charge. They've already threatened to impeach him. Why not just shut it down at this point? What's the point? You could put Border Patrol back with DOJ or some other agency. Because they are obviously have gotten so politicized. This is the thing with the FBI. They never stop terrorist attacks. They never stop crime. Crime is up, you know, unbelievable amount. The amount of police officers killed up 59% in 1 year. But what's the FBI focused their time on? Not on Hunter Biden's business dealings. No. They're focusing their time on you.
And what you're going to say.
On a social media platform.
Yeah, because now they're concerned that an Elon Musk is going to open up the social media platform to free speech without viewpoint discrimination. This is their concern. Let's go ahead and take a call before the break.
Yeah, we've got to... we go to Mary Ellen, Illinois, on line two. Hey, Mary Ellen.
Hey, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. Oh, I thank you so much for the issue here that you're raising. Because I agree, first of all, I always thought political speech is protected speech, okay?
It is.
And this misinformation, it's not consistent with their defined role or authority given them. You know, under the executive branch, correct?
Oh, exactly. And so the challenge to that this formation of this governance, a disinformation review board, is going to be multifold. I think a disinformation governance review board probably runs afoul, depending on the application of how they use it, but certainly you would think runs afoul of the First Amendment's free speech clauses. Maybe it's freedom of association clauses as well. First thing to do is find out how this all started. That process is already underway because your American Center for Law and Justice is already preparing the documents to find out what this is all about. That's why your support of the ACLJ, especially during this matching challenge, is so critical. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We're in a matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for it. We're very close to catching up with last year's monthly match. We're within about $100,000. ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Secular, we are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. I think, you know, it's a dangerous situation when the U.S. government starts getting involved in the censorship game and they start deciding they're going to put in the Department of Homeland Security.
Of all places.
Which is a law enforcement agency. So think about, this is criminalizing free speech. The idea now that being a free speech absolutist is anti-American? No, it's anti-government. And that's what they don't like. And again,
it's pro-Constitution, though.
It is pro-Constitution. But the question here is, they don't like the Constitution either. To them, that's meaningless. Remember, what is a fundamental right? No response.
She had no response. No, her fundamental right was, I will be impartial. A friend of this broadcast, just sent me a very interesting chat or text. And he said, and he's in the media business. He said, I can hear my father spinning in his grave saying, this is not what I fought and what I was wounded for in World War II, to have a disinformation governance board established by a government agency of the United States to monitor the speech of Americans and to determine if they're disinformation or not. I mean, this is unprecedented. You know, Harry, you direct our policy, and I'm thinking, this violates everything we stand for as an organization, but it violates everything the Constitution stands for.
I think you are exactly correct. Criminalizing free speech is arguably treasonous. It is designed, in my view, to undermine the Constitution. So while liberal elites like Professor Michael Sandel of Harvard have unjustifiably claimed that President Trump was an authoritarian figure, the truth is, it is neoliberal globalist elites who are the true totalitarians. So from Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's attempt to shut down free speech in Canada, labeling it Nazism, to President Biden's attempt to follow the pathway blazed by Joseph Goebbels and Joseph Stalin, now the Biden administration has formally set up a new disinformation governance board that is designed to allegedly counter misinformation regarding illegal migration, Ukraine, and election security. After all, the neoliberal globalists are the new authoritarians, and they should be labeled such by the American people. And the American people should rise up. They should certainly go to the polls, and they should engage in their own form, legally, of course, of election security. And meanwhile, they should robustly exercise their free speech rights guaranteed by the Constitution.
Yeah, I don't think there's a choice anymore. I don't, you know, this argument that you can make, well, you know, I still feel like I should vote for these guys. No. Like Harry was talking about, people have got to overwhelm the elections in November. I mean, that's the way for election integrity right there. You overwhelmingly beat back on these policies. And remember, when President Trump said drain the swamp, remember what happened to him. The swamp is still there. It's stronger than ever before because they have the number one swamp creature. His entire career, entire life has been spent in Washington, D.C., is Joe Biden. This is a guy who, he loves all of this bureaucracy. So they've got their best friend they could even imagine to rebuild anything that Donald Trump took apart. And so we've got this opportunity. I don't, this idea again, that you can even justify voting for this side. Now, I wouldn't shut you down for trying to justify it. That's the difference between me and them. I think it's pretty ridiculous to vote for a Democrat right now, but I wouldn't tell you that you can't. And I wouldn't say they can't have a viewpoint and they shouldn't be on the social media platform to be able to share that viewpoint. Or if they want to be on the street corner, they can try and share that viewpoint. But the fact is, what makes us different from Europe and other Western countries, is that we actually have freedom of speech. They don't. They might have functioning democracies, but they don't have real freedom of speech. The government is still in control of the narrative. And take a listen. This is what the new DHS committee chair for this disinformation committee wants to make America look like. Take a listen.
We need the platforms to do more, and we frankly need law enforcement and our legislatures to do more as well. And in other countries, they're looking at this. You know, the UK has an online safety bill that's being considered right now where they're trying to make illegal this currently, quote, awful but lawful content that exists online where people are being harassed.
Awful but lawful content. That's lawful. We just, the government just doesn't like it. And, you know, the ability to petition your government for redress of grievances is also in the First Amendment. You know, one of the fundamental rights that the new Supreme Court justice did not recite. That's a freedom. The freedom of speech and association is a freedom. But this is a direct attack. I want you to make no mistake about it. This is a direct attack, Harry, on fundamental constitutional rights and freedom. Even the name of the organization, the Disinformation Governance Board of the United States government? I mean, this is unbelievable.
I think you're absolutely correct. So what we are witnessing is the formation of a new Ministry of Truth. And the new Ministry of Truth in the United States follows in the unenviable footsteps of Joseph Goebbels and Joseph Stalin. There is no such thing as a false idea, at least according to the United States Supreme Court's interpretation of the Constitution. But if we look at the new head of the Ministry of Truth, set up by the Department of Homeland Security, she gets to decide what is a false idea, what should be banned. And it's important and imperative to recognize that her analogy to the United Kingdom is misplaced. The United Kingdom does not have a written constitution.
Nor a First Amendment, of course, a freedom of speech clause.
Precisely. Right. And so she is off base, but the entire Biden administration is off base. And I think we should be at least grateful that MSNBC's race lady Joy Reid was not named the leader of the Ministry of Truth.
Well, let me just say this too. In the UK, what she forgets is that the only people on either political side are elites. That's why none of our movements in the US fully have matched up with theirs. Just you have the Nigel Farages, these kind of outliers. But to even get to be in the political movement, you've got to be an elite. And so this idea that we want to be more like them, it is the opposite of what we want to be like in the United States of America. They do not, again, they have no fundamental rights. The same answer would be the same question. Well, they're not really, right? I mean, I'll just be fair. But this idea that awful but lawful, if it's lawful, then the government shouldn't be getting involved.
They certainly should.
That's it. That should be the line right there. I don't care how awful it is. Remember, you were deplorable. Now it's awful but lawful.
Can you imagine, advocating a pro-life viewpoint could be deemed to be disinformation? The proclamation of the gospel, I guess, could be disinformation. I mean, I'm thinking through every case we've ever had. I never thought I'd see a day where the government would have a disinformation review committee. I'm sorry. Harry, we got 16 seconds. Did you expect that? We've lived a long time.
No, I didn't expect it.
It is
but
crazy.
But it is the inevitable outcome of globalist elites and their desire for power.
And AOC and Omar, this is what they want. A ministry of information.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, your U.S. taxpayer dollars are now funding, and this just got exposed. She's been in there for a couple months. So a Democrat planted the question for Mayorkas yesterday when he was testifying. So this was not like
to get
ahead of the story that was obviously about to break. And again, this is literally, it is called the Disinformation Governance Board. I mean, again, writers, novelists, movies have been made about these ideas happening in the United States of America. So I want you to take a listen. This is Secretary Mayorkas. Now, he's supposed to be focused on securing our border and keeping out illegal immigrants and also keeping the drugs out, which are killing everybody across the country. But he's not even focused on that. He's spending his time on creating a disinformation governance board. Take a listen.
Our undersecretary for policy, Rob Silvers, is co-chair with our principal deputy general counsel, Jennifer Daskal, in leading a just recently constituted misinformation, disinformation governance board. So we're bringing, the goal is to bring the resources of the department together to address this threat. I just read a very interesting study that underscores the importance of the point that you make, the spread of mis and disinformation in minority communities specifically, and we are focused on that in the context of our CP3 and other efforts.
Oh, you know, first of all, that's a little insulting to the minority community.
It's always insulting to the minority community, the idea that they can't think for themselves.
Well, if you don't explain it to them.
Right, you got to tell them what to do. You got to tell them
how to
vote.
The rest of the communities can figure it out, well, maybe, but the minority communities especially. This is what's preposterous. I mean, they've always had the dim view of the minority communities. Yeah. Let's be honest. That's the way the left always operates. And misinformation and disinformation. How about this, Mayorkas? Secure the border. Stop the sex trafficking. Stop the drug cartels. Stop the fentanyl from coming in here. Stop overrunning our cities. That would be a good use of funds. But instead, we've set up a governance board involving misinformation and disinformation. The new official government censors set up with your taxpayer dollars in mind to monitor what we say. We want to try to grab one call?
Yeah, we got the phones 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us. Rich in Ohio, on line one. Hey, Rich.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You set off a fire in my belly when I heard this morning, but to me, this is just their way of legalizing a way to legalize their different disinformation.
Oh yeah, well, of course, because they get the cloak of government protection. When the government speaks, it's almost immune from criticism.
But it's also the bureaucracy at work here too. So the Democrats are inseparable from the bureaucracy. They are the swamp, and they are these controls. This is their dream, has been able to shut down the dissenting viewpoint. The idea that again, because when you shut down the dissenting viewpoint, you try to marginalize the a political movement so that you feel like you're alone and there's not other people out there who agree with you. And then suddenly that movement doesn't grow. You silence the movement. You make it where you have to make an economic decision about your politics. Will I be able to keep my job if I decide not to go along with this government action? This is what they've been doing to pro-life protesters and pro-life speakers for decades. Now they're broadening it out. Remember, they're calling you the fascist? They're calling us the Nazis? But we're the ones saying free speech absolutism. Insult us. Let me see things I don't like. Hear views you don't agree with. Hear views you do agree with. Make your own decision about where you want to go to hear or not hear speakers. But the idea of walking down the street of America and not being offended, this is the same people who try to take down crosses at Arlington National Cemetery because they said it makes them throw up. Remember, that's their argument in court. It makes them physically ill. That's what America's about. It's about sometimes being that upset about some other speaker's speech, but you're not shutting them down and you're not criminalizing it. That is what they want to do. They want to make it a crime, and they will come up with economic penalties to shut you up.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Six 6843110 to join us on the air. This is, again, I want to play more because this is your new head. Your taxpayer dollars are paying for her salary of the Disinformation Governance Board. Nina Jankowicz.
Do we have this?
I mean, this is her career.
This is an official United States agency, Department of Homeland Security, big one, setting up a disinformation and Mayorkas said, and misinformation governance board to monitor the American people. I mean, I want you to think about that for a minute. Now, go ahead.
Well, they're also, I mean, there's a game they're playing here, too. They're trying to provoke bad actors, too. They want to provoke bad actions so that they can then blame and see we can't have this. So there's a game they're always playing, too, which is they're going to be outraged by this. Maybe someone will do something actually illegal and actually bad, and right, then we'll get to justify our existence. So I want you to take a listen carefully to who you're paying for in this disinformation office. This is, again, her interview on government radio, Nina Jankowicz.
I think you make a really good point, Michelle. You know, for people of means, for people who are in the majority, it's a little bit easier to deal with. The onus always falls on the target of the abuse. The platforms aren't doing very much right now. And I shudder to think about if free speech absolutists were taking over more platforms, what that would look like for the marginalized communities all around the world, which are already shouldering so much of this abuse, disproportionate amounts of this abuse, and re-traumatizing themselves as they try to protect themselves from it, you know, reporting, blocking, et cetera.
You know, when they say things like, it concerns me when we have these free speech absolutists. What's the opposite of a free speech absolutist? A censor. A discriminator. Because free speech, protected free speech, does not include yelling fire in a crowded movie theater. And they know that.
Yeah, but
so when they say these phrases like absolutist, and I consider myself a free speech absolutist, yeah. I believe that you counter speech you disagree with more speech. By the way, Supreme Court has only said that for 70 years. 40 of those, we argued the cases. But we have a government agency that is now the Government Disinformation and Misinformation Governance Board.
I mean, don't you all drive by probably on your way to work or drop your kids off at school? I know I do. There's a guy on the corner with a sign. He's been there for like years. He's not gathering a lot of supporters, by the way. It's pretty crazy stuff what's on his sign, in my opinion. The police are not, I don't think he needs to be arrested. He's not doing anything illegal. He's on a public sidewalk with his sign. That's where he's chosen to spend his time. If you want to engage him, he'd be happy to talk to you. but most people just drive on right by. That's what makes us different than the UK. You won't see that guy there. You won't see them in France. You won't see, so I'm talking about Western European countries. They don't have that kind of protection. So for him, and then for us, the idea of how do you create a new political movement in our country if you can't be, again, against the system? Mm. Think about that.
So the Senate's looking at it. Josh Hawley's concerned about it. Than, where do we think this is going? Than, Ben, our Director of Government Affairs.
Yeah, we talked yesterday, Jay, House Secretary Mayorkas was on Capitol Hill this week on the House side dealing with this issue and others. He's still there today, but he is going to be next week in the Senate in front of the Homeland Security Committee that Josh Hawley sits on. And Jay, this topic that you're talking about today, this is going to dominate the senators questioning when Secretary Mayorkas is over there. He tweeted this: the administration that activated the FBI against parents at school board meetings now has created a government disinformation board to monitor all American speech. It's a disgrace. Joe Biden and Secretary Mayorkas, dissolve this monstrosity immediately. Hey, I got to tell you, I've seen this letter. I've read this letter. This is what the senator is going to do next week when Secretary Mayorkas is before him.
We need to get just more, and I really appreciate Josh Hawley doing this, but we got to get much broader base senatorial report support. I think there'll be some Democrats. I don't think Joe Manchin's going to go for this. Yeah, I don't think Sinema's going to go for this. I don't think Tester's going to go for this. These disinformation campaigns, not going to play well in their states.
No, not if the word gets out. They're trying to get ahead of this story. Let's go to Sandy in Tennessee on line three. Hey, Sandy.
Hi there. Well, when I heard your first round of this, the immediate thing that went through my mind was this done as a response to Elon Musk taking over Twitter? As I've listened to you through the rest of the show, what I think I just heard was them saying that this was a recently constituted...
Right, 2 months ago.
...organization. Okay, so I guess that my timing must be off in my head a little bit.
No, I think it all does play together, though. You know, I've been saying it for months on our show that we're going to have some billionaires on our side step up, or we're going to just be, you know, outspent and out. Every news agency is going to be bought by a billionaire on their side, is it Soros type or a Bezos type. And Elon Musk comes in a couple months later as a disruptor. I think they still have a pulse on what's happening in the country. That's why they want to shut you down. They know they're about to get slaughtered in the midterm elections. Okay, so they will not be able to get any actual legislation moving that is partisan. They got a pretty weak Supreme Court nominee through. I don't even think that she adds up to what they really want. I mean, so that's the...
No, they clearly wanted the ones that were more to the left.
Yeah, but, you know, because of their political promises, they couldn't choose those people. So they choose someone who could not tell you what a fundamental right was in America. Think about that. We have a First Amendment. We have a Bill of Rights. These people went to Ivy League schools, and they act caught off guard.
She's
going to be a Supreme Court justice this summer. Take a listen.
Could you tell me how you might go about deciding what a fundamental right is under the Constitution?
Well, Senator, I don't know that I can tell you that in the abstract, in the sort of way that you may have posed the question. There is... precedent in the Supreme Court.
No, you don't have to rely on the Supreme Court for your rights.
You don't rely on the Supreme Court for your rights.
That's what she just said, though. The idea is we have speech, religion, petition your government, Second Amendment.
The list goes on. To be a witness against yourself? Speedy trial?
We have a Bill of Rights. There's a simple question. It shouldn't be partisan, but this is their idea. They are questioning the basic structures because why? They were written by white men. That's what this all goes back to. How many times with all of these sound bites are you hearing race and white men? It's the new way to just call someone a Nazi. You don't have to say Nazi. You don't have to say a fascist, even though they do use those terms. Just say white men. Well, who wrote the Constitution? It's the white men. So there's really no fundamental rights. And the idea of America, it's a bad place. That's CRT. This is a bad place to live in. We're not a great country. So it's again, the whole idea is they're taking it from the inside, trying to turn America into something it was never intended to be.
Here's a question that I have, Dan, and this is where, is there, you know, Josh Hawley's letter is great, But this is a board that is now functioning. It's already set up. It's not to be arranged. It's operating, and it's the Disinformation Governance Board to handle misinformation and disinformation through Homeland Security. Who else is going to get on this? And can we work up there on the Hill to build support for what Josh Hawley's trying to do? Because this is a real outrage on the First Amendment and fundamentally undercuts our constitutional republic.
Already working on it, Jay. I think this is how it's going to go. Next week, when he's in front of the Senate, yes, they're going to have the back and forth. There will be more information gathered. But here's where I think the bipartisan support that you're talking about, Jay, comes in. Even though this is already set up, even though it's already functioning, the funding of that, so the continuance of the work of that board, is going to have to be funded by the United States Senate. I think that's where the people like Senator Manchin, Senator Sinema, Senator Kelly, hopefully a wide range of others. Quite frankly, Jay, it ought to be 100 U.S. senators. Maybe it won't be, but it should be. They ought to say, we aren't going to fund it. So you might not get the Biden administration to walk away from it. But, Jay, if the United States Senate says we will not send them a dollar, that's how you shut a board like this down. And that's a goal that I think is doable.
Let me go to Bill in Wyoming online for. Hey, Bill.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So this committee, my question, I hope, is right. This committee, what their actions are is if I stand with a pro-life sign in front of an abortion clinic, I'm some kind of anarchist. But if I stand in front of an oil company with a plea, save our planet or prevent global change, right, I'm some kind of a savior for the whole world? Yeah, is that the idea?
Yeah, the idea is they will pick and choose the actors they like. So they're okay with Antifa burning your city down. They're okay with Black Lives Matter not just being a protest movement, but also rioting, and they don't make the distinction between the speech and the movement. You can't criticize one and say the other. So I say all the time, if you want to speak about Black Lives Matter, you want even civil disobedience that we accept to a certain point, you start rioting, though there's crime there. Antifa, there's crime there. You can have those viewpoints. I don't want the government picking and choosing between whether I want to be, some anti-fascist, even though they're kind of similar to fascist. Or if you want to be part of Black Lives Matter, or if you want to be a pro-life protester or a pro-abortion protester, don't have the government picking and choosing the winners. That's up to politics, which is up to the American people. We pick the winners. That's the idea, anyways, is that we pick the winners and losers politically. They don't. They're there just to work for us to ensure that, you know, the basics of our government work, like border security. But they're spending their time literally creating a disinformation board, not protecting you from fentanyl or your family, not protecting you from illegal immigrants or cartels.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Yeah, it's a secular. We're taking more of your phone calls, too. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Linda in Pennsylvania online, too. Hey, Linda. You there?
Good afternoon. Thank you for thank you for taking my call.
Yep.
Other than voting and praying, what accountability does the White House have to the American people that put him in office?
Well, look, I mean, the elections have consequences. Now, the accountability is going to come. I'm holding in my hand right now a first draft, so it's not final by any stretch of the imagination, of a Freedom of Information Act letter that we're going to send off to the United States Department of Homeland Security to get information about this misinformation and disinformation governance board that's been already set up. So that's happening. So that's number one. I want you to understand that. That's in process. So that supporting groups like the ACLJ and our government affairs office, for instance, in Washington, can get results. When we do get results in these cases, it takes time, but you have to do it. So that's one thing you do.
Yeah, there's a constant political process. You have midterm elections going up all the time. And what I think that the big message to all of us right now is you better get out and vote. Don't sit on your hands and say, I don't think my vote will be counted, because they'd love that. They'd love for you to sit at home and not actually vote. That makes it easier for them, a lot easier. So and get your friends to understand. You're steps away from giving up a lot in our country. I mean, if you give up this kind of power, I already think we gave up too much in the 60s and 70s. We started funding it, you know, news services for the government, and again, the idea that you know, the way they've gone after pro-life speech is the way now they're just going after all speech, the picking and choosing. So you got to show up. You have to organize. You have to be unified, not always in every political view you have. I think that's what makes our movement unique, is that you don't have to agree on everything, but there are some big ticket items that we want to make sure we're electing people for. And one of the main, it's kind of crazy that we're having to say it, but the idea that we're going to protect freedom of speech means you have to vote Republican, because look at what the Democrats are doing. They might have a couple who come out against this, but it will be a couple.
Yeah.
The mainstream of the Democrat Party agrees with this right now.
Right.
Agrees with the idea of oversight
board.
Of everybody's speech. That you can't be person on the corner anymore in the United States of America.
No, or use the internet or get your views out, or the new public square. Wes Smith is a retired colonel from the United States Army. And Colonel Smith, I got a note from a friend of mine whose father served in World War II and was wounded, received decorations and acknowledgments about his injuries in war. And you put on the uniform of the United States. You've served all over the world. How does this make you feel as a military man?
Just these are the things that we raise our right hand. We take an oath to defend the Constitution. This is an attack on the First Amendment of the Constitution. What they fail to realize, Jay, is that misinformation speech is protected speech, just like hate speech.
Oh, sure.
And that is lost on them. But what bothered me about Mayorkas' testimony yesterday in Congress was that the excuse he used for establishing this board to monitor what we say and write is national security. That's what he said.
Yep.
He made the statement that disinformation creates a landscape of vulnerability for state actors to use to the detriment of the United States. Our foreign adversaries, they use the words of the progressives to the detriment of the United States. They actually have a PR coup with things that people on the left, including some of our U.S. leaders, say.
Yep.
Our adversaries pick up on that, and they actually quote them. They have quoted Mayorkas.
One of the folks on Truth Social, Mr. Plain Truth is what he goes by, said this: when can we expect the @ACLJ and @JSecular to file a suit against DHS for the formation of the Disinformation Governance Board? Isn't this a direct violation of the First Amendment? Yes, it is a direct violation of the First Amendment. And I am reviewing, as soon as we get off of radio, the first draft of our Freedom of Information Act demand, which I'm sure will be objected to, and into federal court will end up. Yeah, so, yes.
And I think we have to think, too. I mean, this just happened. But the idea is that if it silences speech at all, it's already unconstitutional. So whether you could challenge it outright, even outside of the FOIA process, because
maybe
of its immediate, because they've announced it, they've told us all, yep, who's a part of it. So I think that, again, they're not doing this in secret, which, again, but I always speak it this way. Remember who they're putting on the court, people who don't think you have a fundamental right. Now, right now, that's not the majority of the Supreme Court's view. But I think one of the commenters said, too, could you imagine if they do gut vote Roe versus Wade?
Well, what they're going to go crazy.
This is all really – this is not about Elon Musk. It's about those kind of moves.
Yes.
But who will be violent in the street? Who will actually be the ones committing crimes? It's not speakers. It will be them. Who burned your cities and towns down? Them. The far left. That's who burned the cities and towns down.
Yep.
So that to me, get ready. This is a full-on assault on all of us.
And those decisions come out in about 8 weeks. All right, stick another phone call. Jenny from Florida.
Hey, Jenny.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, and thank you for all you do.
Thanks.
I'm wondering where Mayorkas gets the authority to form a board like this and hire people and manage to keep it a secret for 2 months.
Well, I mean, they're cloaking it, and it's part of security, like Wes was talking about. They're saying it's a national security issue. Now, I think it's challengeable now that they've come public with what they're calling it and what its force is. But when you create these agencies, they have policy power outside of the political process. Now, Congress can decide to fund them or not. They can also, you can decide.
So changing the Congress could have a big impact on this.
Yes.
But they could also find money. You don't know with DHS. They could find money. We're going to probably have to do a direct constitutional attack on this setup of this disinformation campaign.
As you and I were talking earlier, when Mayorkas uses national security as the excuse for this, it reminds us of Nazi Germany.
Oh, yeah.
Joseph Goebbels was appointed head of the Ministry of Propaganda and Public Enlightenment, and they passed a law called the Editor's Law. Clause 14 of that law that Joseph Goebbels, officiated over, ordered editors to admit anything, quote unquote, calculated to weaken the strength of the Third Reich at home or abroad. He justified their censorship on national security as well. It's almost the same thing that Mayorkas said yesterday.
Old playbook.
Yeah, it's the idea you can't be a patriot and anti-government at the same time. But in fact, being a patriot and questioning the government go hand in hand together.
Well, that's how we became a government. That's how we became a country.
The idea that you can't criticize the government anymore is the whole it's an entire shift in what we're all about. And I think what it's going to do is unleash a movement they've never even seen. They think Donald Trump was a movement.
Huh.
You take moves like this and you're going to bring more people. Because, see, then you got you bring in the Elon Musk world. That's not necessarily the Donald Trump world. Though they might see eye to eye on some things. You start bringing a mass amount of people, they're going to say, we're going to take away your free speech rights. You don't have to get into the nitty gritty of political campaigns and the party system even to create a movement that might be their worst nightmare. You already are. They've called you deplorable. You're fascist, Nazis, theocrats. I mean, the list goes on and on with the terms they use. And again,
stand with us.
Insult all you want. But yeah, I think you have to be ready for a major battle here, a major cultural battle. And support our work at ACLJ.org. We're ready for it. We're prepared, and we're right on. We're standing with you. We've been standing up for the marginalized voices in America since our founding. But we don't let the government pick and choose who the marginalized are.
Nope. Paul and Rumble ask, are the ACLJ donations tax deductible? They are. And we're in, as Jordan said, the matching challenge campaign, which means your tax deductible gift of $10, $20, $30 is matched by another donor. So it effectively doubles it. ACLJ.org. Talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.